Well, amen. We know that faith will become sight, and praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter 11. Wednesday nights we've been going through studying on the life of the Apostle Peter, And boy, there's been so much here, and I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you. Looking at things through Peter's eyes and seeing how God worked in and through the Apostle Peter from the very beginning, and now as Jesus had discipled him to be doing exactly what he is doing right now, Peter is leading the church in the beginning of the apostolic age. And he's playing a very huge role in the development and the leading of the church that Jesus Christ himself established. And we find this last series that we're looking at here and what Peter is doing, he is called to go to present the gospel to the Gentiles. And God took him through a series of events. And then, of course, Cornelius also was being prepared by God. And so we find that Peter, with some of the representatives from the church there at Jerusalem, went to Cornelius's, and there he started preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And we find that God saved Cornelius and his family, and they were baptized and become part of Christ's church. And what a blessing that was, looking and studying all that. But then last week, as Peter is coming back, those of the circumcision that were still ignorant of the will of God and going forward here, and even some of the Bible says some of the apostles that were there in the church accused Peter of breaking the law, breaking the Old Testament law. And they the Bible says there in Acts chapter 11 and verse 2, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and didn't eat with them." And so we was looking at some of that, and we find that the message we preached last week and looking at this portion of the Peter's life was the battle of those that were within the church. There's been a lot of battles concerning outside the church. I would much rather have a battle outside the church, with those outside the church, than see those battling from within the church. And the church has got to be a place of refuge, and it's a place for encouragement. It's a place to grow and to find the help that we need to represent Christ to the rest of the world. And we're going to have battles with the world. There's no doubt about that. But we have to be careful about battling from within the church. And so we studied and looked at some of the things there, and of course the opposition from within. We have to be able to separate doctrine from preferences, and sometimes we get confused a little bit on doctrine when it's really preference, and it's the interpretation of the Word of God. So we have to make sure of the interpretation, and then, of course, we're not to place ourselves as judges in the church. That's not the position that we have as members of the church, but we are to present the truth, and we are to live the truth, and show by our own actions and how we live as a testimony to others. And so how important it is to make sure that we're dealing with the issues and the opposition from within the church in the way that God would have us to. Well, now we spent a little more time on that last week than really what I had planned on, and so we didn't quite finish that event. And so we're going back to that tonight in Acts chapter 11. Going to finish up verse 16 down to verse 18 tonight. I think this would be a help to us as well, because this is the vision of the New Testament church. What is happening, Jesus established his church. They would be going through the apostolic age where the Bible was being completed. The Holy Spirit of God was coming down. All the promises to the church were being presented during this apostolic age to set us up for the New Testament church age, until Christ returns for the church. And so what Peter is doing here is actually developing God's vision for the world, for how the church is to reach the world. And so it's a blessing to understand this and see it all unfolding before us through Peter's eyes. And so go ahead and stand with me tonight. Acts chapter 11, let's read verse 16 down to verse 18. Then remembered I This is Peter. The word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them, the Gentiles, and Peter just experienced that, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now this is Peter addressing the circumcision of the church of Jerusalem. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. Praise the Lord, brings back unity within the church, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church where we can just learn more and more about your word and your will and your ways for us and for our church. Pray tonight, God, that you would just help us to put everything else out of our hearts and minds. Stay focused on what you have for us through the teaching and the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So as we look at the circumcision, as they accuse Peter of breaking the law by going into the Gentiles, actually sitting down at meal with them, having fellowship with them, preaching to them, baptizing them, allowing them to be part of the church. They were very much opposed to that. They had not let go of the Old Testament law, and they had just added Christ to the Old Testament law. You know, that's not what the New Testament is all about. The New Testament, as we've studied and we preach many a times, and if you read the Bible, Jesus taught it. I didn't come to do away with the Old Testament. I came to fulfill it. So it's been fulfilled. In Christ, everything about the Old Testament is fulfilled. And so we need to know how he fulfilled it, for what purpose. And that's what he is presenting here. That Jesus Christ, New Testament Christianity, is what it has always been the will of God. We studied Sunday night the dispensations leading up to this dispensation, this period of time, if you will, this New Testament church age period of time, the dispensation of grace, if you look at it like that. Now, grace is part of God's DNA, but it is highlighted right now. It's being highlighted. It was highlighted through him sending his son to the cross of Calvary and giving us salvation by his grace. And so we find here that this is all part of the New Testament church. But they had some of the apostles, the Bible says here, as well as some of the circumcision that were contending with Peter. They thought that he had broken the law because they had added Christ to the law. Can I tell you that it's not anything plus Jesus? And it's not plus Jesus and anything else. It is Jesus. It's not the law. It's nothing else but Christ that brings to us salvation. So Peter, after he's dealing with them, he's trying to explain to them what God had did in his life that led to him preaching to the Gentiles, led to the Gentiles being saved, and led to the Gentiles being part of the body of Christ here, the church of Christ. Peter remembered in verse 16 the words of Jesus, and he said, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water. Now Jesus was discipling Peter, and Peter did not quite pick up on exactly the message that Jesus was teaching him while he was being discipled, but now he remembered what he had been told by the Lord, and now it makes perfect sense. Now, sometimes we read the Bible or we hear a message and we don't quite get it. We don't quite know how to apply it. And then later on, something will happen. You'll grow in your understanding of the Word, understanding of the will of God. And then it'll be brought back to your mind, things that you had been taught or things that you had read in the Word of God. And then you put it all together. And it's just a hallelujah moment when that happens. Well, Peter, now that's what he is saying. I then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Those that are following him will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then he says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. Now that's what Peter is telling them. That's what he experienced. He experienced God giving them the Holy Spirit, baptizing them with the Holy Spirit, as he had done for the Jews, as he had done for Peter. See, the key to Christianity would not be circumcision or a commitment to the law. It would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not the water baptism. It's what Jesus brought to us after he ascended to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within all who would call upon him to be their Savior, which would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not somebody coming up smacking you in the forehead. It's not something that you have to work toward. It's not something that you have to earn a certain degree. It's automatically given to you, whether you understand it or not. It's what Jesus gives to all of them who call upon the name of the Lord. That's part of salvation. It's what Christianity is established on. The key to Christianity today is not circumcision, part of the Abrahamic covenant. It's not obeying the law. It is solely dependent upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It would be God's gift to give. Now, that's what he says right here. For as much then as God gave them. It wasn't Peter circumcising them. It wasn't Peter teaching them to observe the law. It was Peter preaching Christ. And as he preached Christ, God gave them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the coming from God of the Holy Spirit to seal humanity, to come within man. That's what he's saying right there. And those words are very important here. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. And what did they have to do? Who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then they, at Pentecost, received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then when he took the gospel, when he went to the Gentiles, God was able to give them the very same gift that he had earlier given to the Jews that had received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Can I tell you that man must stop adding requirements to God's gift? Peyton, what if your dad says, Peyton, I want to give you $100. And you'd be real happy, ready to receive it. But I'm going to step in between and say, all right, before you receive this $100, I want you to come over and I want you to clean up my garage. And I want you to do some work for me at home. I want you to do the laundry. I want you to do this and that. And you can't receive that until you do what I want. That's me stepping in between. Your dad wanted to give you $100. Do you think I would have that right? Don't answer that. And yet that's what so many want to do with God's gift. It's God's gift as He wants to give it. No one has the right to step between you and God and says, before you can have this, you've got to conform. Before you have this, there's some works that I want to see you accomplish. Before you have this, you add whatever else you want to add to it. And can I tell you, it's too many religious organizations and too many individuals are wanting to step between God's gift and an individual and try to profit themselves in whatever way that they want to profit. And that's just not the way God has established it. A well-known passage of Scripture, and you don't have to turn there, you can probably quote it as well, but Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 is the two most popular verses, but let me read to you verse 4 down to verse 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. And hath raised up us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's all God's gift. This is all explaining and trying to identify God's gift and what it means and what it is. And then He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to purchase it. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now we are saved and indwelled to be able to do good works. But it's not the good works that save us. We will not have the ability to do the work the way God wants the work to be done without the presence of God strengthening us from within. The motive will be something different. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Another very familiar passage of Scripture, just to help us to understand this, is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. John writes, and this is the record, or what's been recorded by God, that God hath given, not the church, not a man, but God hath given. He's given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And it's set. He said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have, based on God gave it to you, eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says this, after He had revealed all the dispensations and of the church age, of the churches in this church age. He says this about at the end of the church age, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God has a gift, and He brings it to individuals. And he knocks on their heart door. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, whether he be Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. Old Testament, it made a difference. New Testament, God's plan all along, no respecter of persons. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You have to open the door. Wow. Go back to our text in Acts chapter 11. Peter said, I remember the words of the Lord. It all makes sense to me now. Just as we were baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Gentiles would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And whoever wants salvation, wants God, can receive God as a gift. Verse 17, he says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now he's addressing the circumcision. He's addressing those who are in the church and even some of the other apostles that have not come to this understanding, this vision that God had for his church. What was I, Peter said. He said, it wasn't my plan or my design. I was just doing what God led me to do. I was a servant in the hands of the Lord. He's presenting what took place with the Gentiles as God's will and God's vision for his church. But what Peter was also presenting is that Peter had his part. But most importantly, God has his. And man cannot do what only God can do. And God chooses to include man in his vision for the world and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a church, we have to understand our part, and we also have to understand God's part and stop trying to add to God's design. Stop thinking you can do more than you can do, and stop thinking that people have to do more than what God requires of them to do. And stop thinking that there's more that God should do than what God is going to do. That's what's happening here in the apostolic age. Let me tell you, it's a transitional period of time. Peter is being used to lead the church into this apostolic age. Now, Paul's going to come in and he's going to take it in a whole different level concerning reaching the Gentiles. But Peter was the one to, first of all, present this as the vision of God for the church in this New Testament church age. Peter said, God led him to go speak to the Gentiles. God led him to go present Christ's words. God led him to go preach to the Gentiles. Verse 13 to verse 15. Verse 15 especially says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. All I did was go and start speaking. I didn't know what was going to happen, but that was my part. That's what God revealed to me that I needed to do. Back over in the book of Acts in chapter 1, another very well familiar verse here, verse 8, it says this. Jesus taught them. Now it's coming to an understanding again. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. Once you have received the Holy Spirit of God, then you are called to become witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, not just to the Jews, but to all humanity. Witnesses tell what they have witnessed. I love that. Simple. If you witnessed salvation, you have what the rest of the world needs to be told. If you know how you come to an assurance of your own salvation, if you know what the Bible, as you read or look to the Bible, if you know what the words of God said, and you base your salvation on what the Bible says, then you are a qualified witness. And you are to go tell what you have witnessed. This is planting seeds. Now, Paul would present this to the church at Corinth over in the book of 1 Corinthians. Let me read this or write it down. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 5. He's trying to set the church straight again in some things here, understanding what's important, what's not important. He said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. They brought you the word. That's all they were. They were ministers. And you believe what they said, but they didn't save you. It was a word. It was Christ. By whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted. Apollos had watered. But God gave the increase. It's God's gift to give. And there's going to be those that are going to take the gospel and they're going to, your testimony is going to be planting a seed. If you look like a Christian and live like a Christian and talk like a Christian, listen to me, you're going to impact those around you. And sometimes without ever even speaking a word, the Holy Spirit of God will use your testimony to plant a seed in a lost man's heart. Now, we can do more than that. We can talk, we can witness, and we can go out door to door, and we can go out and have a Sunday school class and have an Awana ministry and have all the different things. We can have outreach ministries, and we ought to. We ought to have worldwide outreach to reach the world. That is the Great Commission. But you can't save anybody. Stop trying to do God's part. Stop trying to tell them, well, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to conform to this and you have to conform to that. That's not your part. Your part is to be a witness. Your testimony is a witness. That's why it's important that we identify with Christ in every area of our lives. It's why we are a part of the New Testament church. Because it's God working through his church. Because the church is here to baptize. Once they get saved, the authority was given to this church to baptize believers. And after you baptize believers, then you are to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That means they are to be discipled. And the church is here not only to carry out the seed, carry out the gospel to the world, but also to baptize believers and then to be able to disciple believers. That is the vision that God has for the New Testament church. Peter is fully understanding it now, and he's presenting it, and the church has to get a hold of the vision, and they will. Praise the Lord. They planted. So neither I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. You have to plant. Sometimes you got to water. But God giveth the increase. When it comes down to it, you can lead somebody to Christ, but they have to be saved by Christ. Amen. They have to be given the gift by God. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We work together, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. There is blessings and rewards in heaven for laborers. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The foundation was Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. That's where it begins. The foundation of Christ. So we do our part. God does his part. When Peter started preaching, the Spirit of God came down upon them. You see, when you witness, because you're doing the work of God, when you're witnessing, it's the Spirit of God that takes your words and convicts the heart of that lost person. It's your testimony that the Spirit of God uses to point others to bring a conviction into their hearts. That's something you can't do. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit and point people to yourself. Look what I'm doing. You ought to do that because look what I'm doing. That's not how it works. But we ought to be doing what's right. And let the Holy Spirit of God use that testimony in every area. He convicts. As he's convicting, then the part of every individual that's going to get saved has to come from you. No one can get saved for you. Raising children, you want to make sure your children, you think, I can't stand the thought of my child dying, going to the devil's hell. Sometimes parents kind of too eager to let the Spirit of God work in their child's life. And then you confuse that child because they'll do what you want them to do. But that's not salvation. You never tell a child they're saved. You tell a child what they must do to be saved. And let that child answer the question, have you done what the Bible says you need to do? I understand it, but you can't do God's part. By raising them in church and raising them with the testimony that you have before them, you're giving them the best chance to be saved. After they get saved, your testimony is giving them the best chance to turn out right. But you can't determine how they're going to turn out. You can't dictate how they turn out. You'll never give an account for what you can't control. No parent will give an account for how their children turn out. You'll give an account for how you raised them, the testimony you had before them. Because that's all you can control. Every child has their own free will. It's amazing. Even in some good Christian homes, I've seen one child go completely in a different direction than another child. What makes the difference? Free will. Influences along the way, but a free will. Yeah. All you can do is give them the best chance by presenting the best testimony and the best environment to be raised in. The part of every individual, they need to believe for themselves and they need to confess themselves. Romans in chapter 10, and I got to hurry up here, but follow me, almost done. Romans in chapter 10, again, very familiar passage of Scripture, but hopefully it's helping us to get the vision, and that's why these are very important passages of Scripture. Chapter 10 in the book of Romans in verse 9, the Bible says that if thou, and that's whoever, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall confess with thy mouth, not a parent's confession of the child. That child of the age of accountability, that is, must confess with their own mouths. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, understanding what it takes to be saved and understanding what Jesus did by dying on the cross of Calvary. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession includes repentance. I believe it's all together, but repentance is the desire to turn to Christ. Confession is acknowledging that I am a sinner and I want to turn away from sin because I want forgiveness for sins. That's what you're asking for. The gift of eternal life is forgiveness from your sins. It includes so much, but it includes, first of all, a washing away of your sins, a forgiveness of sins. You have to desire to be forgiven. You won't desire to be forgiven if you don't acknowledge your guilt. And you have to have an understanding of guilt. You have to have an understanding of sin and the wages of sin being death. And when you put that together and you understand that I don't want to die and go to hell because I am a sinner and hell is all sinners go to a place of hell, but Jesus paid my sin debt and now I can just look to him. He has a gift for me. Not mom and dad, not the preacher, not the church. God has a gift for me. And all I have to do is confess that I'm a sinner. Jesus died for me. I want to receive. You have to have a desire to be saved to be saved. A desire to be saved is a desire to receive what God has for you as a gift. And when you have a desire to have what God has for you as a gift, you want to receive it. And when you receive it, it's yours. For an eternity. It's yours. His gift includes everything we have in Christ. And there's a whole lot. And after that person does his part, God gives him that gift. And then it comes back to the church to have water baptism, to allow that person to publicly identify with Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. and to be discipled. That's the vision. That's what this church age is all about. Go back with me and we're done here. Acts chapter 11. After Peter's testimony, verse 18. When they heard these things, the other apostles and those that were still holding on to their circumcision, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Woo, I love that. They understood the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ for the New Testament church age, and they glorified God. And understood, it's not a separation from the Gentiles. Never was God's will in the Old Testament, although the law presented that to keep them and their testimony as being different from the world. But now he has clarified it in a huge way by saying we are not to separate ourselves from Gentiles or humanity, but rather the sin of humanity. We are to be separated from the world, but we are not to be separated from people. We are to be separated from the sins of the world so that we can have the testimony that God wants to use to reach the world. That's why the church is not a club. The church is not just that, well, now I think we need to grow to a certain number and then just get comfortable, and we don't want to add anybody else. They could come in and really make havoc and wreck some of the relationships we have here in the church. And we don't want just anybody and everybody to come to the church. We want to make sure that we maintain our little click. That's not the true church. The true church is to understand we're here to do God's bidding. And God's bidding is to reach the world with the gospel. Not to separate yourself from people. Be a witness to people. And be a witness to people by separating yourself from sin. This is the vision for Christ's church in every generation. And I think even more so in this being close to the last generation of people. How important it is for us to understand our part and God's part of the reason for our existence on this earth. I trust that was the help. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Salvation is the key. Biblical salvation is what's most important. Biblical baptism. Biblical discipleship. Biblical lives, biblical purposes. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that you have given to us through the scriptures, especially as we're looking at the life of Peter and we're getting into this apostolic age and the vision that you had for your church and how that you continue to have the very same vision for this 21st century church. Pray that you'd help us as Lighthouse Baptist Church to be aware of our part and your part to accomplish what you have for us to accomplish. in our own homes, in our church, and in our world. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.